Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this.
Millions headed to the polls on Super Tuesday. President Biden and Donald Trump appear headed for a rematch after both candidates win nearly every race. We'll get the latest with David Dayan of the American Prospect. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court unanimously rules Trump cannot be barred from the ballot over January 6th.
On Monday, the Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump can appear on the ballot in all 50 states, despite his participation in the insurrection on January 6th. The decision was widely touted as unanimous, including by Trump himself, but it really wasn't. It was a deeply fractured 5-4 split that shows real divisions on the court.
Journalist Mark Joseph Stern says the Supreme Court's unanimous ruling is actually a 5-4 disaster. And children continue to die of hunger in Gaza as Israel continues to block aid deliveries to the north. We'll go to Cairo to speak with the best-selling author and activist, Susan Abouhawa. She just returned from 2 weeks in Gaza. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden and Donald Trump appear headed for a rematch in November after both candidates won nearly every race on Super Tuesday when millions of voters in 15 states went to the polls. Trump's only remaining rival, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, is expected to drop out of the race today after beating Trump in just Vermont. On Tuesday, Biden won every Democratic contest on Super Tuesday except American Samoa, where he lost to a little-known tech investor named Jason Palmer. Despite Biden's victories, many Democratic voters continue to show dismay over his support for Israel's assault on Gaza. In Minnesota, 19% of voters in the Democratic primary chose uncommitted. About 12% of voters cast ballots for no preference in North Carolina, as did 9% in Massachusetts. During an interview Tuesday, Donald Trump broke his silence on the war in Gaza by openly endorsing Israel's actions. He spoke to Fox News host Brian Kilmeade.
The non-committed vote that Biden's getting, they're not going to like you either because you are firmly in Israel's camp, correct? Are you on board with the way the IDF is taking the fight to in Gaza?
You've got to finish the problem. You had a horrible invasion. It took place. It would have never happened if I was president, by the way.
Over the weekend, Trump reportedly met with billionaire Elon Musk in Mar-a-Lago, one of the world's richest men. Trump's seeking to boost his fundraising at a time when he's at risk of losing much of his personal fortune. Last month, a New York judge ordered him to pay $454 million in a civil fraud case. In California, Democratic Congress member Adam Schiff and the Republican baseball star-turned-politician Steve Garvey are headed for a showdown in November to fill the Senate seat of the late Dianne Feinstein. Schiff and Garvey won the top two spots in California's closely-watched nonpartisan primary. Protesters chanting "Ceasefire Now!" interrupted Schiff's victory speech.
Through all the travails of these challenging times without my incredible family, I also want to thank my brother Dan and my brother David, who is also here this evening.
Democratic Congress members Katie Porter and Barbara Lee placed third and fourth in the California Senate primary. Lee was the only candidate on the ballot who supports a ceasefire in Gaza. North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson has won the state's Republican gubernatorial primary. MSNBC described him as a Holocaust-denying, gay-bashing, extreme anti-abortion radical. The Human Rights Campaign said Robinson was one of the most radical anti-LGBTQ plus MAGA politicians on the ballot for making comments like this one from 2021.
The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. And this same people going to tell me, you need to believe in global warming. And then they tell me, follow the signs. Follow the signs. You don't even know what gender you are.
Last week, Donald Trump praised Mark Robinson, who's African-American, saying, quote, "I think you are Martin Luther King times two," unquote. In November, Robinson will face off against Josh Stein, who won the Democratic primary in North Carolina. In another closely watched race, Colin Allred won the Democratic Senate primary in Texas, defeating State Senator Roland Gutierrez and others. Allred will face Republican Ted Cruz in November. The World Food Program has accused the Israeli military of blocking the agency from delivering crucial aid needed to avert a famine in northern Gaza. Health officials in Gaza say at least 18 children have died from starvation in recent days. The Biden administration's defending its decision to keep sending arms to Israel, even though it's blocking aid deliveries. National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby was questioned at the White House on Tuesday.
What is preventing the president from communicating to the Israeli government that if they don't allow aid, we will not continue supplying weapons? Why is that not a fair trade? No aid, no bombs.
Because the president still believes that it's important for Israel to have what it needs to defend itself against a still viable Hamas threat. Maybe some people have forgotten what happened on the 7th of October, but President Biden has not.
Palestinians in Gaza say the lack of aid is leading people to take drastic actions to feed their families.
We have the willingness and ability to bear it, but is there a father in the world who can see his children reading in hunger in front of him and remain silent? Even if the price is risking his life, just like all these people who risk their lives in order to obtain what is not even enough for a crumb of flour or aid or canned food. Yesterday, some expired canned goods arrived containing mold and fungus. We are not animals as they described us.
On the diplomatic front, negotiations are continuing in Cairo, Egypt, over a possible ceasefire. A top Hamas official said Tuesday the group will not release any more hostages until there's a permanent ceasefire.
We reiterate that what the enemy failed to achieve on the battlefield, he will not achieve at the negotiating table. The security and safety of our people will not be achieved except with a permanent ceasefire, the end of the aggression, and the withdrawal of the enemy from every inch of the Gaza Strip. Providing urgent and appropriate shelter and bringing aid to our people in Gaza is our top priority, and any exchange of prisoners cannot take place before all of this is achieved.
That senior Hamas official, Osama Hamdan. Israel bombed a home in southern Lebanon Tuesday, reportedly killing a Hezbollah fighter along with his wife and son. The attack came as U.S. Special Envoy Amos Hochstein was visiting Beirut, where he warned that a war between Lebanon and Israel would not be containable and could spread across the region. The World Food Program has warned the ongoing conflict in Sudan could trigger the world's largest hunger crisis unless fighting between the Sudanese military and rapid support forces comes to an end. Agency officials said Wednesday more than 25 million people scattered across Sudan, South Sudan, and Chad are facing severe food insecurity. Meanwhile, worsening violence has blocked humanitarian aid workers from accessing most of Sudanese communities experiencing emergency levels of hunger. Aid deliveries from Chad into Western Sudan border have been halted after Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said there were concerns RSF fighters had carried out arms transfers in that border. Haiti's most powerful gang leader has warned Haiti is heading to a civil war unless Haiti's deeply unpopular unelected prime minister, Ariel Henry, resigns as a violent uprising continues to grow in Port-au-Prince. On Tuesday, Henry landed in Puerto Rico after apparently being unable to fly back to Haiti, where armed groups attacked the international airport Monday. Henry left Haiti last week for Kenya, where he discussed a deal to bring a UN force of 1,000 Kenyan police to the island nation. Haitian gang leader Jimmy Cherizier, known as Barbecue, issued a new threat to Henri.
If Ariel Henry doesn't step down, the country will suffer a genocide. If he doesn't step down, if the international community continues to support him, they will lead us directly into a civil war that will end in genocide. The international community, especially the United States, Canada, France, and the core group, will be responsible for all the people who die in Haiti.
To see our segment on Haiti, go to democracynow.org. On Tuesday, Doctors Without Borders announced it would scale up its medical operations in Port-au-Prince. The group said the recent violence has led to a massive number of casualties. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for two high-ranking Russian military officers for targeting civilians and attacking civilian infrastructure in Ukraine. ICC Chief Prosecutor Karim Khan spoke Tuesday.
This afternoon, Pretrial Chamber 2 of the International Criminal Court issued two arrest warrants relating to Lieutenant General Sergei Kobelash, commander of long-range aviation of the Russian Armed Forces, and Admiral Viktor Sokolov, commander of the Black Sea Fleet of the Russian Federation.
In news from Capitol Hill, independent Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema has announced she will not seek re-election this year. This comes just over a year after she left the Democratic Party, after years of shifting further to the right. Sinema was widely criticized by Democrats for voting against changing filibuster rules to pass key voting rights measures and efforts to raise taxes on corporations. Her departure paves the way for a high-stakes Senate seat match, likely between Democratic Congress member Ruben Gallego and Arizona's former Republican gubernatorial candidate Kari Lake, who supported Trump's false claims of election fraud. In other Senate news, New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez and his wife have been charged with obstruction of justice in a new 18-count superseding indictment as part of a sweeping case centered on bribes tied to Egypt and Qatar. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is facing new controversy after reports he hired a law clerk who was previously found to have sent racist text messages. Crystal Clanton was the field director at the conservative student group Turning Point USA when she sent the messages, including one that said, "I hate black people," unquote. Justice Thomas has come out in defense of Clanton, who graduated from the Antonin Scalia Law School at George Mason University, which has long had ties to conservative donors and has maintained close relationships with Supreme Court justices. In its historic victory for college sports, the Dartmouth men's basketball team has voted to unionize. The players voted 13-2 to join Service Employees International Union Local 560. This comes as Dartmouth is seeking to overturn a February decision by the National Labor Relations Board classifying the basketball players as employees of the university, which granted them the right to unionize. In other education news, the Evangelical Christian School Liberty University has agreed to pay an unprecedented $14 million federal fine for failing to report sexual assaults and other crimes on its campus. It's the largest fine ever levied under the Federal Clery Act. And in Germany, a militant left-wing group has claimed responsibility for cutting off power and shutting down production at Tesla's largest electric car factory in Europe, which Tesla's hoping to expand. The factory could remain shut down for a week after an electricity pylon caught on fire. The leftist Volcano group took credit for the sabotage, saying, quote, "The factory contaminates the groundwater and consumes huge quantities of the already scarce drinking water resource for its products. Tesla is a symbol for green capitalism," they said. Over 100 people recently set up an encampment inside a nearby forest to protest Tesla's plans to expand the factory.
Hi, yeah, wir sind hier in Grünheide in Brandenburg und haben
We're here in Grünheide in Brandenburg and I've occupied this forest because Tesla, which is building electronic cars here in the Gigafactory 4, also wants to buy and clear this adjoining area of forest. We have occupied this forest to stop this.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show with the results from Super Tuesday, when millions of voters in 15 states went to the polls. President Biden and Donald Trump appear headed for a rematch in November after both candidates won nearly every race. Former President Trump defeated Nikki Haley for the Republican presidential nomination in Texas, California, and 12 other states. Haley beat Trump in Vermont, but is now reportedly expected to suspend her campaign today. President Biden won in all 15 states with Democratic contests. Despite Biden's victories, many Democratic voters continue to show their opposition to the president's support for Israel's assault on Gaza. In Minnesota, 19% of voters in the Democratic primary cast their ballots for uncommitted. About 12% voted no preference in North Carolina, as did 9% in Massachusetts. In North Carolina, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson won the state's Republican gubernatorial primary. MSNBC described him as a, quote, Holocaust-denying, gay-bashing, extreme anti-abortion radical. The Human Rights Campaign described Robinson as one of the most radical anti-LGBTQ MAGA politicians on the ballot in the country. Last week, Trump praised Robinson, who is black, saying, quote, I think you are Martin Luther King times two. In November, Robinson will face off against Josh Stein, who won the Democratic primary in North Carolina for governor. Meanwhile, in Arizona, independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema announced she will not run for re-election this year and will leave the Senate after one term during which she left the Democratic Party after years of shifting further to the right. Super Tuesday was the start of the primary season for House and Senate races in at least five states. In Texas, Colin Allred won the Democratic Senate primary, defeating State Senator Roland Gutierrez and others. Allred will face Republican Ted Cruz in November. Many contested races were in California, and the primary race to replace longtime California Senator Dianne Feinstein, who died last fall. Democratic Congressmember Adam Schiff defeated progressive Congressmembers Barbara Lee and Katie Porter. Under California election rules, the two Senate candidates with the highest number of votes advanced to the general election. In this race, Republican Steve Garvey, the baseball star, came second, knocked out the other two Democrats. Garvey's a former Major League Baseball player, first-time contender, celebrated his victory Tuesday night.
Welcome to the California comeback. What you are all feeling tonight is what it's like to hit a walk-off home run.
Democratic Congressmember Adam Schiff was the front runner through much of the race, and he and his allies spent more than $11 million to elevate Garvey in hopes of beating his main intra-party opponents and keeping them off the ballot. This is one of the ads.
Democrats agree. Conservative Republican Steve Garvey is the wrong choice for the Senate.
Our Republican opponent here on this stage has voted for Donald Trump twice.
Mr. Garvey, you voted for him twice.
As your own man, what is your decision?
Garvey is wrong for California, but Garvey's surging in the polls. Fox News says Garvey would be a boost to Republican control of the Senate. Stop Garvey. Adam Schiff for Senate.
Meanwhile, this is part of the concession speech Tuesday night from Congressmember Schiff's opponent, Katie Porter, who slammed Schiff's spending during the primary.
Our opponents threw everything, every trick, millions of dollars, every trick in the playbook to knock us off our feet. Yeah. We're standing 3-1 in TV spending and an onslaught of billionaires who spent millions peddling lies, and our opponent spending more to boost the Republican than promoting his own campaign.
You gotta be kidding.
Also on Tuesday night, protesters chanting ceasefire now interrupted Schiff's victory speech.
After all the travails of these challenging times without my incredible family, I also want to thank my brother Dan. And my brother David, who is also
for more, we go to Los Angeles to speak with David Dayan, executive editor of The American Prospect. His latest piece, The Intra-Democratic Battles Kick Off in California, Millionaire Self-Funders, Dirty Trick Tactics, Pro-Israel and Crypto Money Everywhere. The ideological sparring within the party takes a backseat to campaign shenanigans. David, welcome back to Democracy Now! For people who don't even understand what happened in California's Senate primary, that it's an open primary, if you can explain how the winner Adam Schiff, the Congress member, helped to propel Garvey, the Republican, to be his opponent over his Democratic colleagues, Barbara Lee and Katie Porter?
Sure. In California, everybody, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or whoever, no party preference, gets the same ballot with all the same candidates on it. And then the top two, regardless of party, advance to the general election. Because of the size of California, money and name recognition are big factors. And what we've seen in a lot of races over the years since this top two primary has been put in place is that the front runner will try to pick their opponent. And in California, a very blue state, if the front runner is a Democrat and they can pick a Republican for the general election, then in a statewide race, they're almost guaranteed to win that general election pretty easily and not have to exert too much effort. So Schiff made a very concerted effort to elevate Steve Garvey. Steve Garvey did not run a single advertisement on his behalf. He did not campaign very much. Adam Schiff spent upwards of $40 million in terms of his total ad spend between him and his allies. And 60% of those ads mentioned Steve Garvey, or in the case of the ad you played, were entirely about Steve Garvey, including playing ads on Fox News saying Steve Garvey is too conservative for California. He voted for Trump. He's too conservative. The idea was to consolidate the Republican vote in California and use that to force Garvey into the top two, thereby boxing out Schiff's rivals, Katie Porter and Barbara Lee. And it was quite successful.
And David, California is also important in terms of the results of the House races for potential control of the House of Representatives. What did you see happening in the races for some of the congressional seats there?
Well, we have some very interesting results, at least preliminarily. The one race I would point to is California's 47th district. This is actually Katie Porter's seat that she vacated to run for Senate. And there were two top Democratic candidates and one Republican. And it turned into a proxy fight involving AIPAC. AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, their super PAC spent close to $5 million in negative ads against Dave Min, who's a state senator in that district. And these supported Joanna Weiss, who is an attorney and a first-time candidate down there. And despite that onslaught, which is a really large amount of money for a primary race, it looks like Min is going to reach the top two, defying that almost $5 million in AIPAC spending. He's currently up by about 7,000 votes on Weiss in second place. And so it looks like Min's going to advance the general election. This is kind of a seismic result. We know that AIPAC is going to spend something around, according to reports, $100 million in primary races throughout the country this year. And the fact that their first foray, their first main race, they come up short. I don't know. Every race is different. And Min was an elected official. He had won in that district before. But this is a pretty bad result for AIPAC in their very first attempt to influence the Democratic Party primaries.
And I wanted to ask you also about Alabama. There was a significant redistricting battle in Alabama's second congressional district. There were nearly two dozen candidates. How does this primary differ from previous elections in Alabama?
Yeah, so it was because of a Supreme Court ruling that they added this second plurality black district in Alabama. Before this point, there was only one Democratic member of Congress in Alabama. This was a second district, and as you say, it spawned a free-for-all, opened up people who lived 200 miles away from the district were running in this race because it was a rare Democratic leaning seat in Alabama. What happened was there's going to be a runoff in April between the top two candidates because nobody reached a majority. One of them is a guy named Shamari Figures, who's the son of a state legislator down there, who was boosted by a good deal of support from the crypto industry, got millions of dollars of ads on his behalf from a crypto super PAC. I should mention that in California, in addition to this spending by Schiff, elevating Steve Garvey, Katie Porter was subject to $10 million in negative ads by the crypto industry, by a crypto super PAC. And the combination of that, you know, the elevation of Garvey for second place to box her out, and this heavy negative spending. I mean, practically all of the ads that I saw in the run-up to the election were negative ads against Porter, or these ads against Garvey that were kind of too clever by half. I think the crypto industry, we thought after Sam Bankman-Fried was disgraced and convicted that, he was the main funder of crypto super PAC ads in 2022. You thought that would die down, but no, there are other crypto millionaires who are spending lots of money to get their favored candidates into Congress.
I wanted to play a clip of the now North Carolina Republican gubernatorial primary winner. North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson winning the gubernatorial primary, MSNBC describing him as a Holocaust-denying, gay-bashing, extreme anti-abortion radical. Human Rights Campaign saying he's one of the most radical anti-LGBTQ MAGA politicians on the ballot for making comments like this one from 2021.
The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. And this same people are going to tell me, you need to believe in global warming. And then they tell me, follow the signs. Follow the signs. You don't even know what gender you are.
David Day and Trump praised Mark Robinson, saying, I think you are Martin Luther King times two, the significance of this primary victory for him.
Well, we've seen all over the country in past elections, Republicans nominate very extreme figures that end up hurting not just their own candidacies, but the candidacies of other Republicans. In these races, we saw it in Arizona last election with Blake Masters, very extreme Senate candidate, and Carrie Lake, the gubernatorial candidate, both of whom lost. We saw it in Pennsylvania with Josh Shapiro had a very large gubernatorial victory against an extreme candidate. So what tends to happen is that when Republicans nominate these real far right candidates, their rhetoric, their comments get elevated, and other Republicans have to answer for them. And I think almost certainly we're going to see that with Mark Robinson. He's going to be one of the more famous Republicans over the next several months, relative to Donald Trump, of course. And I think a lot of Republican candidates all over the country are going to have to answer for the comments of Mark Robinson.
And the significance of Senator Kyrsten Sinema saying she will not be running. She had been a Democrat, became an independent, famous, among many other things, for curtsying on the floor of the Senate as she then voted down an increase in the minimum wage.
Yeah, I think it's quite significant. Obviously, there was going to be, it looked like, a three-way race. Sinema had left the Democratic Party and became independent this year. And so it looked like there was going to be a three-way race between her, Ruben Gallego, the Democrat, and Carrie Lake, who lost the gubernatorial election 2 years ago, but has now come back and is going to be likely the Republican nominee. And in that three-way race, it looked like Lake had a bit of an edge just because you had two people, you know, on the center left side of the spectrum. Now it's going to be a head-to-head between Gallego and Lake, and I think Gallego has a bit of a better shot. And as for Sinema,